Hi, everybody. Welcome to the containment unit. This is Janine Melnitz. What can I do for you?
Put on your bunny slippers. It's slime for the Ghostbusters Containment Unit podcast with your hosts, Matt and Tom.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another episode of the Containment Unit. My name is Matthew Sanders, and I am here with my dear friend, Thomas Henry. Tom, how are you today, man?
I'm great. I'm here for the episode that should not be. We're on hiatus.
People didn't think we'd be coming back. I didn't think we'd be coming back.
But the people asked. They demanded. They insisted.
And here we are. We are here with force. We are here with force.
We are here with a lot of force. The force, as some would say, is with us.
That's right, Tom. That is right. So we're very excited to come kind of just catch up and talk through what we've been up to a little bit over the summer. And also, we are here with a new interview.
We are.
And one that it fits the cameo collection really well. And we are excited to share with you guys. His name is Stephen Friedland, a.k.a. Brute Force.
Yeah.
So we're excited about that. And in case you don't know, because if you memorize the credit list, I don't think his name's there, Tom.
I don't think so either. No. I think he was tracked down well after the fact, if I remember.
And so people are wondering, who is this guy? And
you know you recognize him.
For sure you do.
For sure you do.
For sure you do. He is the Hare Krishna acolyte.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna?
Hare?
Hare? I thought it was Hare Krishna. We should ask somebody. Fact checker. Where's Papa Craig when you need him?
That's it. We're getting the social media fake news tag not put on our podcast right now. We don't even know.
Oh God.
Yeah. So, Tom, let's kind of just talk from the top here. What have you been up to this summer? Any exciting details or bits? I know you're about to leave for vacation. You've traveled a lot for work, but anything that we can talk about right now?
I have been purging my collection lately. If you're in the group, you probably saw.
Yeah.
You know, there comes a time in a man's life when you need to move on from things because of other things that are happening in one's life. So, you know.
I wish I could say that I was upset about that, but really it benefited many people in the group.
It did. And look, when I say I'm purging, what I sold is scratching the surface of what I have. I had some things that I wanted to do with a lot of money. So I decided I would liquidate some things there, and it's mutually beneficial. It helps out the group. It helps out me. And I also didn't want anything that needs Bill Murray anymore. I just don't. He broke my spirit and I'm over him. So
he broke you bad.
And somebody made a meme which was really hilarious, and I don't know if they intended to be hurtful with it or if they intended to be funny, but like, I loved it so much. It's in the group, check it out. But yeah, you know, I told my buddy this, like, I don't want to have another bad Bill Murray experience, because I love the movies too much and I don't want to have that clouding my opinion. So I just decided not to engage him as a fan any longer, and I'll just appreciate him from afar.
Yeah. I mean, it, like you were saying, there is a time, and this happened with me recently too, where the focus of our collecting changes and we sell things to help fuel that change. And I am excited. I don't know if I'm going to share what it is now, but I did pick up a piece from you that I'll be excited to share about here in a little bit.
I picked up a piece. I'll share about it. I actually bought something. I sold a lot, but I also got one that I've been after for a long time.
Which one?
Wilhelm von Homburg.
Oh.
Vigo himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of people who want Ramis. Like, oh, when are we gonna get Ramis? I mean, you just got like the white whale of Ghostbusters collected.
I think I have like everybody because everybody of consequence. Because I have Ruth Oliver, who was the library ghost, and I have the voice of Gozer. Like,
see, there's those are names that I need.
As far as rare those. Names go, like I don't have Harrison Ray. He was one of the Terror Dogs, but I only know of one that exists, so I don't really count that as an option. But I have pretty much everybody else, except some like the really like the chambermaid from Ghostbusters or whatever. But
ooh, she's out there though.
She is. As far as key names though, I think Wilhelm was the last I really needed, and I already had Max von Sydow, so I'm looking to put something.
What do you have him on?
It's like a piece of stationery almost with like some questions on it. Somebody did through the mail, but it would cut into an index real nice. So I'm going to probably cut it.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I got him on a photo cheap after he passed. I plan to upgrade that at some point. I don't think you'll find him on a Ghostbusters piece. So Max, the best you're going to do is a note card.
Yeah. I don't think that Max exists on Ghostbusters. I don't think that Wilhelm either. I don't think he exists on Ghostbusters, but. Or not, I mean, he exists on Ghostbusters, but not on a Viggo photo.
Right.
I don't think. But I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong.
There's certainly opportunity. I mean, when around did he die?
He died in the 2000s, but he was living overseas. Mm-hmm. He was not really working for a while. I just don't know how many, like, he didn't sign through the mail, as far as I know. All the stuff that's out there is really early in his career, or
from his boxing like, career, is yeah. Stuff I've seen,
or from the production of Ghostbusters too. I've never seen him on like a Die Hard image or Ghostbusters or in Mouth of Madness. I just haven't. Isn't it Mouth of Madness? I just haven't seen him on stuff.
But I haven't seen him on a lot of things at all. I mean, so that is a huge, huge pickup.
Yeah, somebody has him on a photo, a script, and then he's on a, is it a logo? A Ghostbusters 2, what was that? What was that item? A jacket or a shirt?
Oh, yeah.
A frisbee or something? Wasn't it something weird?
It was. Where did we even, it was a patch. It was a patch.
Big patch. There you go. Yeah, okay. Big patch.
Yeah.
He's on a big Ghostbusters 2 logo patch.
Yep. No, that's a cool piece, and that's a big pickup for you, man. That is a big pickup for you. That's one of those things that's going to keep me hunting for a long while. And you got a good deal, so you can't complain about any of that. That's just a great purchase every way you look at it.
Yeah, not complaining.
Well, So as far as pickups. Man, I got Kurt Fuller in the mail. He signed it three different times. Well, two and like a quarter. He started the K in silver, decided to switch to green, which didn't show up well. So he signed it black in a really tiny spot. But I got that back. I picked up the piece from you. And I'll post that when it comes in. And I picked up another Ramis note card from a buddy in our group. So, which is ironically already in my hands. I was holding on to it anyway. So, and that's on his personal stationery. So that's exciting. But it's like they say, Tom, I think this is like an old proverb: when one Ramis comes in, another Ramis goes out. So I had to replace the one that was leaving my collection, actually heading back to you, from which it came from you to me, back to you.
Yeah, there's been some behind the scenes mega dealing going on.
Man, it's stressful.
Wait, does that index card have a connection to that photo? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, I remember. It's the one. It's the one where he talks about being the voice of the cop at the end, mm-hmm. and the moose, yeah. Marty. Marty the moose. Yeah. So.
Cool.
Yep, so that officially makes the second vacation Harold Ramis item that I have. So, but outside of that, man, I survived a week at middle school camp with 150 middle schoolers. I was known as the Ghostbusters guy all week by the kids. Yeah, see, I wore a containment unit and hat the whole time I was there.
Nice.
I may have had a one or two Ghostbuster shirts that I wore while we were there. And so the kids referred to me as the Ghostbusters guy. And I think that was like an endearing term. I think that was a good thing.
When are we going to post this episode? Friday?
If you edit it tomorrow, I guess it can go up Friday. We'll launch that in the signing.
And I'm going on vacation in 2 days. Finally. I much delayed vacation.
Well, you've been traveling a lot, but this is actually for leisure.
Yeah, I am. I had to get a COVID test despite being vaccinated and not sick. But I'm going. Yeah.
So let's see. What else is there going on right now, Tom? We got the props. Like, we're right now in the middle of the prop store auction. Mm-hmm. And we know that the Terror Dog puppet sold. Which, did you see the video of Adam Savage with it?
No.
I saw that circulating. I didn't watch it. So I guess that makes me a fake fan. But, and he was just announced for MegaCon too. So I don't know if I have anything I need to get to sign. But
Have we not done an episode? Like, wasn't there something that happened? Did we do an episode before or after Ghostbusters Day?
Yes.
I don't even remember.
We did, I think. Pretty sure. Maybe we didn't.
I don't know.
Maybe it was like a lead-in.
Like, I feel like there was a lot of, like, Ghostbusters Day happened. There wasn't much. We got sweet packages from Abigail Gardner. The auction's going on. It doesn't feel like there's a lot to talk about, but there's also, like, a lot to talk about.
It's the calm before the storm,
I guess, yeah.
Because at some point, a trailer is going to drop, and Pandemonium is going to break out. We got some cool photos from Ghostbusters Day. We got new names. Podcast, is that really Logan Kim's name? That's his nickname, at least.
Yeah. I got a non-update on our big signing today, which was nice. A non-update update, but progress is our middle name, right?
And the other signing that we're not allowed to talk about publicly, but everybody in our group is well aware of, it's still waiting.
It might be a little later than expected because of an injury sustained, but we'll see.
But it's going to happen.
We keep saying that. People are going to think it's not happening. They're like, why do they keep saying this is going to happen?
And if you're wondering, it's one of those things, if you know, you know. And that's all. That's all we're allowed to say.
Yeah. I feel like Craig's going to like this episode because he's going to be like, man, you guys just shot from the hip. He likes that.
Yeah. I listened to their Patreon episodes. I just listened to their recap on Ernest Scared Stupid. And here's the only thing. And I love the conversation. I feel like I'm part of the circle of friends. I feel like I'm in the living room with them as they're talking. But here's what I can assure you of, Tom. There's no rundown. There's no flow of their conversation. It got weird in the beginning. And it finally got to where it needed to be towards the end. But so I think we'll be okay. I think we're okay.
Oh, I think we're fine. We could talk about those bullshit Plasma Series figures that they're releasing.
With the glow-in-the-dark slime?
Come on.
Are you not excited about that?
No, that's dumb. That is a cash grab. That's a Comic-Con exclusive masquerading as a mass market release. Like, Diamond selected that a couple years ago, and it was not. And you can still get them at GameStop, probably. You know, they shouldn't have released those Plasma Series figures when they did, if the movie was going to be delayed, and now they regret it, so they're trying to find a way to get them back on the shelf. But then they come with a Proton Stream. Which is the way it should have been in the first place.
I agree.
Whatever.
Well, they sold a lot of Winston because of the Proton Stream. And then basically everyone sold the Winston separately, minus Proton Stream. So I guess if you really wanted it, that's how you had to do it.
I guess.
I will probably pick up Egon if I see him.
Hey, I'm going to use this platform for my own purposes for like 30 seconds. I know Matt just
Tom, go ahead.
Through his pen.
Go for it.
So a friend of mine named Mary from up in Washington has a daughter named Sophia. And Sophia, the reason I say this is she may be listening to this because she's now hip to us having a podcast. Sophia was 4 or 5 when I met her, and she and I sort of connected because she saw the Ghostbusters logo on the shelf once at Target, and then I gave her the movie for Christmas, and she became this huge Ghostbusters fan, and like, she liked the movies more than I did. So she's turning 13. She just turned 13 a few days ago, actually. And so I sent her a bunch of marshmallows. I got some of the Stay Puft marshmallows and some Containment Unit swag. And she still loves Ghostbusters. And not the one with Melissa McCarthy. She likes the original. Like, she loves Ghostbusters to this day. 9 years later, she's obsessed with these things. So happy birthday if you're listening, Sophia.
Happy birthday, Sophia.
If you're not listening, Sophia, then we're not wishing you.
And I'm only slightly bitter because I still don't have the marshmallows. And I still haven't found the cereal.
I have bags of them in my pantry.
I can't help it. Not all of us are a baller, Tom. Not all of us are ballers.
Yeah, I spent tons of money on these.
So, I mean, really, but that's it, Tom. There's no other. We're on summer vacation, so you know we have our interview coming up next. Of course, there will be a signing with Steven following the release of this episode. That's really it.
Yeah, it's just you know, we're taking a little bit of a break. We got other stuff going on. So, hey. Without further ado, why don't we have our chat with Steven?
Sounds great. Let's do it.
All right, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, Steven Friedland, a.k.a. Brute Force.
For the recording. I don't know what to say now. I am at a loss.
And then your last name, it's Friedland. Is that how you say it?
Friedland.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Friedland. Cool. Thank you, Matt.
Yep. No, Matt. Hey, yep, Matt and Tom. I'm Matt, and that's my buddy Tom. And we
that
are
short of Matthew.
It is. It is. So, all right. So let me just do a quick welcome, and then we'll just start drilling you with questions, and we'll just kind of go with the flow.
Hold it. And I do this just because if there's anybody in the Connecticut area or the tri-state area who might be around July 10th, around Ansonia, Connecticut, I'll be in the Fab Four Festival. The Fab Four Festival. Yeah, that's right. I'll be opening for the headliner. You know, they're all Beatle tribute bands.
Yeah.
Okay.
And just to start off this recording on a flying note, if I may just play for you I have to hit continue. There we go. I'd like to just play for you, if I may, just for a brief while here, just to bring some class, not saying that your show is not classy, some class to the internet.
He listens.
A new song, which I have, you know, I'm a singer-songwriter, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool. A new song I have composed, and I call it Sonata in E flat minor for eyebrows. Thank you. Sonata in E flat minor for eyebrows. Here we go. There you go. That's all about it. A little thing to get the show started.
That was amazing.
Yes.
World exclusive.
Thank you for classing it up for us tonight.
Yeah.
Thomas Henry says amazing.
Amazing. Yeah, you can put that on a CD, on a t-shirt. You know, it's all yours. Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, so since you mentioned it, before we get to the Ghostbusters stuff, that really is a small part of your overall career. I'm really excited about your musical background as Brute Force. And so what Brute Force, what is that name? How did you come up with it? What's the story there?
Thanks, Matt. Back in 63 and 64, I teamed up with the Tokens via, you know, different connections in the music business. I eventually became a member of the Tokens, songwriter in their office, member of the group, writing songs, etc. And when they were very delighted with me as an individual and as a talent, and I wrote a lot of funny songs, you know, and also serious and love songs. And, you know, they came around. I was being recorded also by them as an individual. So I figured with them that Stephen Friedland was not the proper name for me as a rock star, if I were to become a rock star, Stephen Friedland. How mistaken I was, really. The whole picture would have changed dramatically had I had my music put out as Stephen Friedland, in that when I recorded at Columbia, my album on Columbia in 67, some 3 years past the moment that I'm speaking about, had I stayed with Stephen Friedland, there would have been much more respect. I would have been shown so much more respect as an individual. My identity would have been respected. As Brute Force, my identity truly was never respected. The promotional material that they put out from Columbia on me was meaningless, had nothing to do with me. They wrote complete fictions about me. Imagine sending it out to thousands of people, stations, writers. Brute Force comes from Minneapolis, you know. Nothing to do with me at all. So flashback to when Brute Force was discovered, they were recording me and some of my funny songs. We were doing a song called The Fall. You put your right foot behind your left foot. You put your left foot behind your right foot. And if you notice what you're doing, you're walking backwards. You're walking backwards. And it's The Fall. And it's a dance song. And you fall over. And it's The Fall. So I said, I came up with this name, Crude Brute. Crude Brute, which was perfect example of where my mind was at that time. And Jay Siegel, the leader, that guy from Wimaway, he said, Brute Force. He yelled at Brute Force. And that's the beginning of Brute Force. And so, but I trademarked it for me as the my trademark. Actually, oh, I just found my HSBC card. How great. And I called him up yesterday and reported it lost. No, really, because I couldn't find. I looked all over, but I didn't look in the. It's all right. They're sending me a new car. And Lion. As a matter of fact, the logo on here is a lion. Very interesting that we're speaking about Lion sleeps tonight. You know, I don't know if you see Lion. No, I don't want to do that. The number of
so we have a bunch of Slimer merchandise purchase.
Brute Force was born, and you know, I toured with them, and I wrote songs for their publishing company. Got songs with Bernadette Peters, you know, Del Shannon, other people. And they recorded me. They did an album called Extemporaneous, which is a very innovative for that time, very innovative album for that time, because it was all extemporaneous. It was done in a studio, and there were 40 people in the studio, Olmsted Recording Studios in New York City. And it's so pretty. The cover is so pretty. Yeah. If you've ever seen that.
Oh, yeah.
Extemporaneous. Brute nice force. Cover. And that's a grand piano there. And that's the reflection off of my.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. See, that's what that is. And so, and there's the Columbia album. You know, I did a Columbia Brute Force Confections of Love. I Brute Force Confections of Love. I'm interested in getting back with. Well, see, this was a CD. I think this. Yeah, this is the CD. No CDs at that time. This is the CD. It was vinyl. You know, a CD, which is a bar none independent company, bar none. Reissue, I think in 2010, or was it? I don't know. Well, I'm trying to get back to them, see if they'll do that again. I don't know. You know, it's just
for all the kids listening, a CD, you would place it inside of this CD player, and there would be music on this round holographic disc for all the young people listening.
A CD, compact disc.
Yeah.
digitized music on a disc, that's right. And there are young people today that don't know what that is, right?
Unfortunately.
Yeah. But we found you on Spotify. See, look how pretty that is.
It's so pretty. You can see the spectrum. You can see, but this actually is a DVD. This is a DVD of a hilarious thing did on the beach with Daughter of Force. It's called Lars Linguist, Blesser of Bait. That is a hilarious 5 minutes. I play Lars Linguist, and my lifelong friend, God bless his soul, he has passed on. He plays Olaf. He comes to me on the beach. He's a fisherman to have his bait blessed. Because that's my thing. I bless the bait and people. But the point is to bless the bait so that the fish will be attracted to it, so that the fisherman will catch the fish, bring it home, and feed his hungry family. So that's the deal with that. And that's my landline. So yeah, that, well, that's a CD. I'm surprised you say that about people. I thought young people to know today. Well, what medium in music today? Oh, it's just
the
smartphone, right?
Yeah,
exactly. Or they've gone backwards and they're in the vinyls again.
There is an uptick. There sure is an uptick. As a matter of fact, Ace in London, you may know, Ace has. You may know that Ace in London, which is the packager of artists and music from different eras, they have released this on Brute Force, you know, which was the Apple two tracks, Nobody Knows and King of Pha, only they made Nobody Knows, very pretty sleeve. They made Nobody Knows the A side, and they made King of Pha the B side. It's very pretty sleeve. I'm very delighted with that. People are buying it. As a matter of fact, I believe they're going through a reprinting, a second printing, which is very good.
Awesome.
Yeah, right. Ace, and so people buy this from me. I sign the label. I send them a autographed picture, and also give them a free copy. I'm sorry, I'm being so commercial.
No, this is good.
I'm not sorry, actually. I give him a free copy of, because this is the real, this is the emes. You know the word emes? It's truth in like Hebrew. I give him a free copy of Brute Force Planet Work. See that? Planet Work. Planet Work is a 16-minute thematic program of pledging allegiance to the planet, planetary nationality. And all the songs on here are towards that end. All the songs on here are toward that end. And so there you go. That was the lurch for merch hour. And I'll be having a little, there'll be a merch table too at the July 10th, the Fab Four Music Festival in Ansonia. People, I'll be doing that with Daughter of Force. Fell out there, really kind of an impresario in this world, by the name of Charles Rosenay. He produces it and he presents, I think, 10 Beatle tribute bands. Imagine. And he wants me to do King of Fa, which I will do.
Now, obviously, that connection, you know, with the Fab Four Festival is derived from the John Lennon, George Harrison connection to the King of Fa.
Absolutely. George Harrison, John Lennon, very bravely put it on Apple Records. 1,000 copies. And it remains the rarest single ever on Apple Records, and I have one of them. They sent me 2 boxes. They sent me around 50, I believe, 20.
I have tried to find one with no
success. Well, you'll pay right now. I think it's around between 3.5 and 4K for US for one, but the John Lennon single went for around 8,000 US.
Wow.
That's right. Yeah, they John Lennon and George Harrison were very, very kind to me, and they put it on Apple Records. And it's been a blessing and it's been a curse in a way, you know, because I was immediately censored by their distributor. So it couldn't be played. It wouldn't be played. No one would play it. But it was truly censored in a letter in the book The Roof by Ken Mansfield. He devotes a whole page to a letter from the president of Capitol Records back in 69. And in the letter, he just says, he says, in effect, don't do it. Do not, we will not distribute this this record. So, you know, the other choices they have, which is total absurdity if you're into language. You know, you could do that with any word then. If in context, it becomes something you don't like.
Right.
To prove a point, we should not say the word Ghostbusters for the rest of the show, just to illustrate to people what that's actually like.
Word.
No G words anymore.
Canceled.
So, you know, in your experiences with Apple Records and John, I'm a big Beatles fan. So did you have any interactions with John and George back then? Was it?
Well, you know, they called me when I was just about to get married. I was with my fiance in our apartment in New York City, and they called me and they spoke with me. You have a record. Hello, this is George Harrison and John Lennon. They're calling from London, and you know, you have a record on Apple. I said, okay, come on, who is this, you know? And no, it's really them. And of course, my mind is blown, and I thanked them so much. I was stunned, really stunned. And they wrote, and George wrote me a letter. George Harrison wrote me a letter to that effect. You know, you have a lovely name and a great record on Apple called King of Fa. I love the Nobody Knows sign side also. And I'll meet you when at another time. And until then, George Harrison, I sold that for $1,350 at a Beatle Fest. I don't know, in 94, I think.
Wow.
But the rest of my memorabilia as Brute Force is on, if anybody wants my King of Pha for Apple 8 and the letter from Mal Evans to me and copies of the George Harrison letter and proofs of photos that Linda Eastman took of me at Columbia, I have a memorabilia pack on eBay, I think. Yeah, eBay. It's a little overpriced, but then, you know, we're in a inflation now.
That's right. It's a seller's market. So, you know, that Beatles stuff goes for a lot.
It's a seller's market now.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Good.
I was looking at one of your shirts. I like it a lot.
Who is this fucking guy?
Yeah, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, one. I just ordered 30 of them. I hope they get here in time for me to do this thing on the 10th from a company. You know, and I tried to find out where they're being done. So I finally found out they're being done in Tijuana, Mexico, Printful Company.
That is 30 minutes away from me right now. So,
are you in San Diego?
I am, yeah.
So it's being transported to San Diego, and from San Diego, I pray to God it is being flown here, not driven by a truck. You would think that they fly it, right? It's USPS. Yeah. Probably. I hope so. Yeah, between the 2nd and the 8th, my shirts are supposed to get here. So I ordered small, medium, large, extra large, and 2XL. 6 of each. And it was a great feeling for me because the music that I've sold for the past year and a half that have come in and the money that has come in via PayPal, I built up a little PayPal thing. So I paid it through PayPal with money from songs that I wrote who knows when. It was just, you know, like the wheel keeps turning. And I hope the economy keeps turning that way. I really hope this economy keeps turning that way so we don't find ourselves in like a 1929 situation.
Yeah. Well, if all I know is that if at the end of this performance you have 2 extra larges left, I know a couple guys who may be on this call right now who's going to want one.
And so, yeah, it's easy at brutesforce.com. Brutesforce.com. Is the way it works. And I was a fire truck, I think. And you know, I'm in New York City. It's quite the thing here these days.
Yeah.
Now Portland's homicide rate has gone up over 500%. Do you believe that? I'm not me. I'm just, these are the statistics that I read just today on TV.
Wow.
So I'm over there. So I thought of right. California today. Crime of Fornia. That's what I thought of. Crime of Fornia.
Sounds about right.
Right.
See, we have a good here in Orlando.
You're in Orlando?
Yep.
Great. I'm doing hopefully I'll be doing some business down there within next year. Nothing to do with music at all. It's just on the real estate side. So,
listen to Orlando, you, Mr. Nice. Mogul.
No, I'm not. No. Just not at all. But Disney is there, isn't it? Disney is still there. Mm-hmm. Are they still there?
Yep. Still there. Fully functioning. 100%. So it's been good, but so talk about, so you have this music career, you're hanging out with the Beatles, and then you end up in Ghostbusters.
83, that was 83 though.
How did we get there?
Yeah, right, because 64, I'm joining the music. 68, 69, I'm getting the 67, 68, 69, I'm getting Columbia. My other BT puppy, Extemporaneous, and then 69, Apple. So 69, and then they wouldn't do it. And then I put out a couple of Brute Force records, King of Fa. No one would play it. Sorry. A guy by the name of Jeff Sheen, he was with Tetra Grammaton Records. He expressed interest in forming a record company with me. And I put out King of Fa. I also put out Holy Night. The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear symbol, bling, Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. And then a bass behind this, only a bass going very, very fast to the chords of a thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices when yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. And then a chorus comes in. All on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices and drum. Oh, night. And then a guitarist who I don't know who it was dropped in on the session in the upper valley of the Ojai, California, where we were living. And so it's oh night, and this guy is going bam 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 bam, bam, bam night divine bam, 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 oh night when Christ was born, oh night divine, oh night, night divine. And I did that on, it's one of my proud releases on.
That's Christmas Carol. That's it right there. It's Christmas in July right now. I'm like in that vibe right now. You got me in that mood.
Oh, thank you. One of my proud releases on Brute Force Records.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're right. There's so many different people who do Oh Holy Night the same way. You came in and you brute forced it.
Very, very different. Very different. Thank you. I brute forced it.
So in between releasing these records, and I know you got into stand-up too at some point, right? Did you do that before Ghostbusters, or is this
probably
after?
Probably that was the first, Matt. Because in high school, I was entertaining at parties. I would sit down at a piano and I would say, give me any subject and I'll write you a song. And they would do that. And so, and that part of a set, I would carry all the way through an extemporaneous set. I'd make up a song based on any topic or idea, which is good because, you know, if they're good, then it's good. If they're not good, well, you have to have a few lines. Like, oh, that sucked, you know. And but if the songs are good, it can last another good 10-minute chunk of time in a set. So, but comedy got serious in 1980 because I said to myself, you've got to have an act. You've got to have an act. I was going to showcase clubs. I was going every night and I was trying out new things. I was a musical comedian. I was an off the wall act. I was not a traditional stand-up at all, nor am I now a traditional stand-up. And you can look up, you know, Well, as I opened your show with the sonata in E flat minor for eyebrows, that's a good indication of what I will do. What I do is comedy, but I write jokes and I do say jokes, and then I have props, letter props, cardboard letter props, which I make words from like A, I will put A in front of me, stand on a seat, if I could still do that now, stand up on a seat and hump the A and go, fucking A, right, and then B, you know, B, it can be a P, and can be a D also, and M, you know, M can be a W, and it can also be an E, so that could spell mew, mew, if you spin it around, mew, mew, mew. So I do that too, and then I got an hour and a half easy of songs. I say that easy, but I depends on the rehearsal and how much I have rehearsed. I do a lot of my performing now with Daughter of Force. She helps me greatly in sorting out what lead sheets I'll be looking for next. If I need a lead sheet to remind me of the lyrics or to remind her of the lyrics. And then on the 31st, there's a guy's birthday up in Woodridge, Connecticut, to Bobby D'Aprile. He has a birthday party coming up, an outside concert.
So 1983 rolls around, you're 20 years deep into your career. How does Ghostbusters happen? How does Brute Force end up in that?
Oh, you asked me that 15 minutes ago. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Right. Well, then I started describing the years, the records, and the emergence of comedy. And so in the meantime, though, in 1967, I had gotten into American Federation of Television Radio Artists, from which I got into SAG, Screen Actors Guild. And so they have merged within the last 5 years, I think. And so, because I acted, I always have acted, and I loved hanging out at the dramatics departments of all schools, colleges I've been to. And so I went out for roles in films. Now, one of these films I went to, my hair, I was all bald. I was not wearing my hair like this at all. All my hair was shaved, you know. I didn't have a beard at all. It was 83. I must have been 43 years old. And I went to a casting director's office, and this young woman said to me, "Oh, I know what you're good for." She said, "The Hare Krishna." I think she said the Hare Krishna. And so that's what happened. It was great. It was great because I was distinctive out of all of those people. I was distinct and I was put in it. I was set in a distinct place during that particular scene. They made it look like I was standing on top of a car, but I was on a platform. And so that was just after the Marshmallow Man had been destroyed. So I picked up some of the suds and I put it on my head. And I said to the Reitman, I said to Mr. Reitman, whether I said Mr. Reitman or Ivan, I don't know. I said, "How about this?" And he said, yeah, do it. And that was great. So that got the suds on my head and I'm on there and I'm just bopping along doing that, you know, doing that. And that's what was happening there. And so that's how that initial casting and there were 2 days of shooting. I was wearing very thin clothes, very thin yoga clothes, and it was freezing out. It was freezing out, really. And it's great though. It was really great. And, you know, I was right close. I was close to that because, yeah. And then once I was standing in front, in back of Reitman, we were in front of a church there. One of the pictures that you may have, I don't know. So.
We probably have them all. You gave a hell of a performance because for the last 35 years of my life or so, I honestly thought, like, it never had occurred to me until I learned the name Brute Force. I thought that was an actual Hare Krishna individual dancing. You know, I thought they just picked that person up as an extra, you know, how extras do, you know. So the fact that you were cast for that because you had that look and that wasn't actually your daily persona, that's really impressive.
Well, just to show you, there is a copy of the Bhagavad Gita.
Okay. All right.
Well, Krishna is very important in that book for Arjuna. This fellow was fighting, you know, and he didn't have the guts to kill his relatives. He would have had to kill his relatives. And he complained to Krishna. He said, how can I do this? How can I unloose my arrows into my people I know? Krishna says, well, the wise mourn neither for the living nor the dead. And it's better to go on fighting. Better to go on fighting. That's just one part of it. That's kind of the beginning. So but it's very interesting that you thought I was a real Hare Krishna. That's great. Well, they put that white streak on me, you know, in makeup. They put that white streak on me in makeup. Every time I see Hare Krishnas, you know, doing their thing in the subway, Hare Krishna, and they're down there, you know, maybe a dozen of them on the drums with the, and with the harmonium behind them and doing their thing, you know, I say hello, give them some money, and they give me some, they give me a couple of pamphlets always, you know. I always had a fantasy that I would just go down and join them, you know, and just stay with them. But, I, you know, it's not, can't I?
My neighbor, two apartments down is a Hare Krishna, and every time I see him in his orange, his robes are orange, I'm like, in my head, it doesn't work because I picture you as that Hare Krishna. I'm like, they're supposed to be white. Like, why are they, or like, it doesn't really connect.
See, and I thought the same thing. I didn't think that it was an actor. I thought you were the legit thing, but in that movie, just in the few minutes, we've got priests, we've got Jewish rabbis, right, we've got a Hare Krishna. I mean, we've got like all these different religions and faiths represented. And I just assume that they just pulled in a couple of these guys last minute and threw them in there.
I think everybody was an actor, you know, and I was hired, you know, as a background, see. But it was 2 days of work, which is good. And, but I didn't have things to say, you know. If I had some things to say, they would have given me a line in the credits, you know, but, but this fellow, you know, this three photo thing from another Ghostbusters group over in London, in England, you may have seen that. He very nicely printed up a panel of the Hare Krishna shot, the label, the Apple label, And I think, yeah, the who is this fucking guy shot. I may have sent that to you. And so, but they didn't use me in any of the other ones. I would have liked to have been in different ones. In fact, I even went as far ahead in my mind as to think, well, should I send them, you know, a premise for what to write? You know, some of the characters would come around and ask advice from me, you know. I'd be sitting on a corner or something like that. I would give out advice. But
Still time.
That's okay. I met Bill Murray once. He was coming out of a building. I was walking into a building. And that was pretty good.
I've met Bill Murray once, and it was more like that in passing type interaction as well.
Ships in the night for sure.
That's right.
That's it.
He's a very far out guy. Sure. He is.
So when very the movie
who loves music,
he does.
Yes, indeed. And the movie Groundhog's Day was really great, very great. I think a great movie.
It was. So like after you shoot Ghostbusters, right? 6-8 months later, it comes out. Yes. Did Ghostbusters impact you between 1984 and you know when people started asking you about it on the internet? Was it something that you thought about? Did it have any impact on your life? Did you mention it at like parties? You're like, I was in Ghostbusters, or was it just one of those things?
Well, I wouldn't say particularly. I think I must have struggled to get the moving image, you know, and I don't know how, just how I got a few of the photos. But there were no, there was not too much actually about it. No, it just was another role. It was very good. Something I can say, oh, did you see me in Ghostbusters? Oh yeah, right. And I was very happy, always very proud to mention that. And but onto the next, you know, onto the next battle between that and comedy and music, you know, always thinking that shall I do this there? Shall I do this there? And no, really, I just sent out a script the other day, a play. Right, and you know, with the live performance, the live performance with merch seems to be the best for revenue at the moment, you know.
Yeah.
Until I can land, I suppose, either a live screen movie or a play.
If Matt and I ever throw a Ghostbusters convention, if that ever happens, we'll invite you to perform at the convention. A brute force concert at a Ghostbusters convention would be.
Are you doing Ghostbusters conventions?
It's maybe someday.
We've talked about it.
Maybe someday.
There have been Ghostbusters conventions.
There was one, yeah, a few years ago for the 35th.
I would be happy to, actually. Yeah. Sure, I'm always open. That would be cool.
That would be a lot of fun.
That'd be a lot of fun. I'll wear my yoga.
You can put the marshmallow clothes back on your head. That's all we have.
Yep. We'll get you a marshmallow cap. I saw it. So there's a show that I watch with my wife, and it said that I saw that you were in it. I don't recall where though. So I'd love if it's true, because you know there's only true things written on the internet.
Right.
Were you in the show, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I was at a table And I played, you know, an uncle of the bride, I think. Yeah.
I'll have to go back and watch.
It was at a table. If I knew how to do that right now, I would do it. But I'm afraid I would lose this Zoom show because I know it's in my documents cache. And I could send it to you. Let me write it. Well, let me write that down then. And to send the Maisel's picture to you. Yeah. Yeah, I was booked in that. And I did that. And I haven't gotten back so quickly into movies because of the, or TV series, because of the, because of COVID, you know?
Yeah.
And now they, who knows, it's, now they have this Delta. But I've been vaccinated. Are you guys been vaccinated?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
We all have the antibodies, yep.
Oh, terrific. Oh, if you have antibodies, does that mean that you had COVID?
I did. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, I'm thankful that you're still with us.
Me too. I had a pretty rough case.
It was touch and go.
I'm so glad you lived so you could do this show.
Yes.
I'm so happy that you lived that. Great, really. You know, other than that, I'm looking forward to getting something done on my my musical. I produced a musical about the King of I can't believe how long ago it was. It was in 2006, and this is 21. That's 15 years ago. I produced a musical based on the beautiful land of Pho. And I'm looking to turn that into a show for a company, for a radio show in England. Looking for that. And recording my music. I'm very much more excited about recording my music now than anything, really. As there are so many songs that I just want to put in an album. I want to make another vinyl album, you know? I'd like to do that, and I can do that. So while I'm still here, you know, I might as well do that. It's a good idea when I'm still here to do that.
Unsolicited pitch. How about a brute force version of the Ghostbusters theme song? See, release it as like a single or something.
That would be an interesting concept, actually.
Make the fans go crazy.
That would be a combination, and I will think about it. Thank you, Tom. I think about that.
I just selfishly want to hear it myself, so.
Yeah.
That was a highly produced track, too, you know. So.
Yeah.
You'd have your work cut out for you.
The eyebrow version.
But you could do it.
I would like the eyebrow version of the theme. Thank you.
There are lots of songs that I have, which for me mean a lot, just really mean a lot. And mean that I want to put down so people can hear it. People can hear Brute Force songs. I'm sure that my fans, which are all around the world now, I'm sure that they are saying to themselves, well, you know, where's the new music, you know? I want to record this. So anyway, this is, and I'll only do one verse, because this is definitely, you know, copyright. There's a, I want to do a, more than one song of mine as a country artist. I loved country, Western music, country music when I was a young boy. So anyway. Now there's a big ship sailing in the morning. Destiny unknown. I'll be on that ship in the morning, and I'll be far, far gone.
destiny unknown. Destiny unknown. If they ask for me, just tell them that I've gone. I'll be sailing for the horizon and the morning sun. Please don't ask me where I'm going. Destiny unknown. Destiny unknown. Destiny unknown. I'd give you my address, but I just don't know. Dreams of the helmsman as he plows out to sea, leaving behind all his loved ones, just left with memory. Destiny unknown. Destiny unknown. About the time you figure it all out, about the time to go. There's a big ship sailing in the morning, destiny unknown. I'll be on that ship in the morning. Destiny unknown. Destiny unknown.
That was great.
Oh, I'm telling you.
I want that song. I love that song. That was great.
I didn't think we'd be getting the concert tonight. I'm loving this. Well, what's up?
Appreciate it.
That was really, really good. Bravo, okay. Sir. I like that. It's good.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I like that song. It's an old song, too. I wrote it a while ago. Right. So, but look, don't you see? It's going to go on for hours.
Oh, geez, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And I'm surrounded with my files. I'm surrounded with my music. And I am tasked with the reality of continuing my promotion, of doing as much publicity as I can. I do have a very good friend now who is helping with me with publicity. It's like an ad hoc thing, you know, and fan publicity, someone who really believes in me and is a great John Lennon fan, see. And as far as marketing goes, I'm learning quite a lot since I bought some Ace 45s from the company in London, and they, you know, it's like, you know, you become a business fan, you have to, you know, they give you a break and then you got to judge what are you going to sell it for? And so, and you got to keep promoting that, you know, you want to keep promoting that. And so now you're into marketing.
Yeah.
And you're into merchandising. And now I just ordered these shirts. This day is going to come.
and they're going to be out there. And I think my grandson is going to be at the merch table. I'm not too sure whether or not I want him to be singing King of Foe with us. I don't want to cause any trouble. Well, the deal is he's 9, so I don't want to cause any problems at all with the promoter. Out of 100 people, one person will come up and complain, and forget it.
Hey, so I was wondering, you had mentioned that you sign your albums and stuff like that. Have you signed many Ghostbusters things yet before?
Just send me your stuff. Tell me now, how's that going to work? You're going to send me stuff. You're going to send me pens. I don't know what that means. Correct. What do you think? Correct pens, that felt tip pens or what?
We're going to send you some Sharpies. We're going to send you everything. It will make it super easy. And then I'll have return postage in there. And you can just send it back to us. But it's to me, so we're autograph collectors. But like I told you too, we're more than that. We love sharing these stories. We love hearing your story and hearing you perform and being able to share this with fans, because they just know you as the guy who's in the movie for a few moments. Granted, it's very memorable, and it's at the very end too. Yeah, but we love sharing this stuff. And so I'm excited too now that you'll be signing the first Ghostbusters photos for our group.
Well, that's wonderful. I just follow right along, whatever you want. To me, I look at it as a joy to be involved with something which I was able to just do through my own talents. And anything I can help, just let me know. And it's gone. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Let me know when. Let me know. Are you gonna internet this or what? Or is it just for your people?
Yep, it'll be up on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, all that jazz.
Yep.
Beautiful.
It'll be everywhere.
Yep.
Well, happy editing. I will be very happy to see it and promote it. Yeah. Oh, great! Now I have another thing to promote. Right.
Perfect.
All right. So take care. Have a good evening.
All right. You too.
All right. Thanks, my friend. Take care.
Okay, Tom. Okay, Matt.
All right. Bye now.
Are you troubled by autograph forgeries online? Do you collect spores, molds, and Ghostbusters memorabilia? Have you or your family been looking for a safe place to go to add to your collection? If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Check out the Containment Unit on Facebook, Instagram, or visit us at ghostbustersautographs.com.